What's your request for information, Grace?
I believe Benito is a listener sponsor member of KPFT, I mean of WPFW, and there is no election at WPFW, so no listener members, no members of WPFW are going to receive a ballot.
That's your question, Grace?
Isn't that correct? I don't understand
Grace's statement is correct. And perhaps the parliamentarian, who is the LES for WPFW, could respond to that.
Yes, I can, and thank you. Grace, that is correct. No ballots would be sent out to the listeners, and I'm happy to say that. Pacifica a lot of money. They're talking about roughly 8,000 people. And there was one staff listener that didn't receive a ballot, and both the NES and myself responded right away to him to tell him where the website is, where he can fill out the form that says I did not receive a ballot, and the form, after filling it out, will be processed, and it is verified that who didn't receive a ballot, one will immediately go out to him. And I believe we have until March the 4th, when the election is over, to receive all those ballots. So there is time, but you have to fill out a form. And in the case of WPFW, there's only one person, thankfully. Some other stations may have nine people or whatever, but they all must fill out the form that states, I did not receive a ballot, and process that form, and then you will get your ballot. Thank you.
When you guys have a point of information or a request for information, you could put it in the form of a question, please. Thank you. Carol, you have the floor.
I just wanted to say that we have some problems, too, and I wanted to point out two things. One is that we are referring people to the NES and the website for the form. But also, I have found that some people did not check their emails, and at least in the Pacific time zone, on January 23rd at around 6 a.m., people received emails from Pacifica, and a lot of people who thought they didn't get a ballot, when they went and looked, actually got an email ballot and had missed it. So the sender is Pacifica, and in our time zone it was 6 a.m., so it may be, you know, later, like, you know, in Central it would be like 8 a.m. and East Coast, 9 a.m., but on January 23rd, people, you might direct people to that.
All right, thank you. Max, do you have any further response on that?
I really don't. I mean, you know, I don't want to be negative or pessimistic, but, you know, we were advised that our list would be problematic. And while I don't want to blame you know, anyone in particular, I think, you know, we accepted in going forward with this election that the balloting process or the lists that we would use for this process might not be as good as we would like. And unfortunately, it seems like it's affecting even members of the board. So, you know, we are getting what we, if you will, put into it. This is the chickens coming home to roost with respect to the lists and the quality of them. So again, I will work as diligently as possible with Renee, who I think has done an excellent job picking up the NES role. The LESs are working hard. And again, I had no indication in my questioning of Renee this afternoon and even yesterday evening that we were behind or that the process was delayed in any manner. We will work hard to make sure that those who did not receive ballots who are worthy get those ballots as soon as possible. Again, they were sent out with plenty of time for this election to proceed on the timeline that was last articulated. So we'll work our best, but that's all I can say at this point.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Madam Chair, point of information.
What's your request for information?
Well, Madam Chair, could you clarify that the ED first stated that the election supervisor, the national election supervisor, not only has the national election, but also three LES or three local stations or two local stations. So what I'm trying to figure out, if WPFW doesn't have an election, or at least a very small one, just how many NES are handling the stations inside of the NES? I'd like a clarification on how many she's actually managing and whether or not how many independent, that is, assigned to the specific station, local election supervisors do we have?
Yeah, I can answer that.
Can you answer that, Matthew?
Yeah, I can. So let me give you the lineage, if you will, the history, if you will, of how we got to the condition we're in. When our first NES...
Point of privilege, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson, but Madam Chair, can you ask somebody that is breathing on the mic? Can you ask
please.
The people to you?
We've got a lot of background noise. Please mute. Yes, thank you.
So when our first NES was hired, he hired LES for every station except for... I believe KPFK in Los Angeles. So we had an NES at the national level. We had LES in the Bay Area, Houston, Washington, D.C., and New York. When he excused himself from our process and the board accepted his resignation, the LES responsible for Houston, Texas, took over as the NES. At the same time, I assigned to KPFK the LES for KPFA. Once the LES for Houston / NES was terminated, we extended the LES covering KPFK and KPFA to cover the responsibilities once held by the LES of KPFT and the NES. So therefore, the NES, starting in January, at the beginning of January, took over the three stations plus the role of NES. What remains beyond her control or her work is the LES prescribed, to WPFW and WBAI, respectively. And those two remain in place and are working hard. Now, the reason we, was explained earlier, only one of those two remaining stations, WBAI, is actually having a full-fledged LFB election because of the number of candidates that applied for... role in D.C. And so that's why it has resulted in the situation we have currently. Hope that helps.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. What's timekeeper? What's our time on this item right now?
You have 13 minutes left.
Okay. Go ahead, Benito.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question becomes, given, you know, Grace is correct, you know, that the PMV decided not to have a PFW listener election. Nevertheless, the only one who knows that is the PMB and the PFW LSB. The listeners don't know that. So I assume, maybe incorrectly, that something would go out making that statement, letting people know not to expect the ballot. So that's why I raised the issue. Maybe I was incorrect, but somebody can correct me.
This is Maxie. I will defer to John if he wants to respond to that. He may be able to indicate what kind of communication was given to the listeners. I'd have to look through my records to see if I have any notice of some kind of communication going out to the listeners, and I'm also not sure if anything was done by the station manager or program directors to articulate it over the air.
Right. Well, the official announcement of that was made by Madam Chair Nancy Sorden at the local station board meeting in WPFW. Now, from that point, it was put on the website that connection was final for the listeners. So, to my knowledge, that's the only official announcement was made that the listener election was completed and the candidates were elected, and that was put on the WPFW 89.3 website.
Which proves my point that the listeners don't know.
Well, let me be real clear, Bonita, with all due respect. You would have to program probably in excess of 30 or 40 promos in 1 week to inform every listener that the election was not occurring. Now, let me repeat, and again, I don't mean this in a disrespectful manner, but I have informed the board, if you do the math, it really is only about 1% of our listenership that votes on our elections. So with all due respect to our process and the way that we go about promoting it, on air, off air, et cetera, the money we put into it, I think it's important that we always take into consideration that the effort to reach our audience with this message, I think the website is just as valid, considering the percentage of people who vote, as the on-air presentation of it. So those who really care about it would inquire, I would imagine. And those who don't continue to listen without ever thinking about it. So again, I don't mean this to be disrespectful. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but my point to you is that you'd have to do a whole lot of promos to alert all the listeners of something that only 1% of them even cares about.
Madam Chair, request information.
Some kind of email could have gone out to the listeners. I don't think that costs any kind of money.
You're assuming that we have email addresses for all of our listeners, so it wouldn't achieve your objective.
Obviously, we don't have for everyone. That's why there's the opt-out, to get the paper ballot, right?
No, but I think the bottom line is the expense of doing a paper ballot indicating that there's going to be no election, I don't think that's easy to justify. I think posting it on the website is adequate. Now, that can be argued. Maybe there's been some precedent in the past on how this situation has been handled, but I'm not aware of it. There's no time like the present. If there, in fact, is precedent on how we do this, have we done this in the past, maybe we can put some promos together if, in fact, members of this board or the station itself feels like that would be a worthwhile effort to inform the listeners that there's no election.
One other thing, Maxie, I would like to add to that is the parliamentarian would like to finish and add something to what Maxie was just saying.
The parliamentarian is not recognized.
Wait a minute, please. Nobody's been recognized yet. We're still, maybe, Thank you, Benito, for bringing this to the attention of everyone, and we'll look into it further and make sure that, I think we should look into this further and make sure the listeners at WPFW know that they should not be expecting ballots. Okay, who is on the stack next? Dwayne?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really want to avoid revisionism as it relates to the chronological history of this election, and I really want to respectfully refer to what the ED pointed out, that as I witnessed this process, there was no, I repeat, there was no resignation of the original NES. The original NES declared this election null and void and indicated that according to his authority on the bylaws, that he terminated this election. So I wanted to go out to the public that the ED recalled a resignation, but there was no such thing, as the record would show. Secondly, I wanted to point out that the ED referred to 1% participation of listeners. We're not concerned about listeners with respect to this election. I would respectfully point out that the bylaws require 10% participation of the members. And therefore, when the able member from WPFW points out notification processes, well, if we're going to send out emails, as it was referred to by one of our esteemed members in California, if we send out emails as it relates to a ballot, then we certainly can send out emails as it relates to notification. So
I
just want us to not double talk here, and I want to get out on the record for those who are listening. But there was no resignation. That was a termination. That was overturned. And secondly, there's a 10% requirement of participation to certify an election.
Yeah.
Not a 1% participation.
Dwayne, that's fine. Dwayne, let me respond, because you actually make a great point, and I will agree with you that it is 10% of the membership, so you're right. We should communicate, and I think that's what Nancy probably has in mind, by email to the membership about not having. I think that's a valid point. Well taken, and my apologies for pointing out, I'm not even apologies. I was really responding to the fact that what was articulated was the listenership, not the membership, should receive notice. That's number one. Number two, your statement about the original NES is inaccurate. The original NES did resign. He also did everything you said. He deemed this election, as you said, he terminated this election, and the PNB overrode that. But he did resign. He submitted a formal resignation letter. So that's not accurate. I just want to correct your correction of my timeline, because, in fact, we do have a resignation letter from the original NES. So that's not accurate.
Carol,
Carol, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm not sure about costs of emails, but I know in some situations, given depending on what the setup is, emails cost, you know, are not free at all. The emails that that we looked at sending out cost something like 17 cents each, and so that can incur with 8,000 people a lot of money. And so if that's an issue, I think I would stick with the first position that Maxie took, that, and if Jonathan Alexander was here, he would chime in and say, the listeners don't care. They care about the radio. They don't care about the board. And if they do care, they are people who are active enough who could go to the website. Anyway.
Maxie, would you care to respond?
I'm not going to say anything against what was just said, but in hopes of responding to what might have been a trigger in what was said, I want to just reinforce my acknowledgement of what was said, that it's really about the membership being notified, and while I'm not aware of any cost associated with email, unless you're using an email service, some kind of emailing delivery service. If we, in fact, have the email addresses of our members, which I have to believe, for the most part, we would,
that should be a viable way to communicate the lack of a ballot being distributed. So, again, I don't want to add anything to what was just articulated, but I want to make it very clear that I think the notion of communicating to the membership is valid.
Timekeeper would like to say that only 2 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Adriana?
Okay, 1 second. Is there anyone else that wants to ask Maxie a question that has not yet asked the question? And did you have a question for Maxie?
Nancy, I'm sorry, I was on mute. This is Maskila. Oh. Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead, Maskila.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Maxie Jackson came to WPFW on Friday. He was there over the weekend, or Friday and Saturday. He did presentations for both the staff and the LSB. And most people were very pleased with the presentation that he gave. And I really, really appreciated hearing the plans and the future for Pacifica if we stick with the suggestions made by the executive director. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Maskila.
I've got to say
he clarified a lot of questions that people had and made everything was very kind of like the way the pros do it, and I'm very glad that he explained how everything works.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, so 1 minute left.
Okay.
Adriana?
Yes, Adriana.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Adriana, I don't know if you can speak directly into the phone. I'm having a real
difficulty. That's what I'm doing, sir.
What you're saying. Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
If everybody mute, that would be easier.
No, you're good. Go ahead. Go ahead, Adriana. You don't have much time, so go ahead and ask the question.
Okay. My question, like I said, we can talk the whole night about this because it's a million questions, but I have another question that had not to do with elections, and it's about the repayment and the FJC loan and what is happening with the waiver and what is happening with all the reports that are supposed to accompany or go, you know, to our to the people that own that loan. How is the situation? I'm really worried. I know that we should be paying. I don't know if we have the money. We don't have financial information, like I said, since October 31st, 2017.
Yeah.
I want to know what is the situation. Do we have a waiver?
Okay, thank you, Adriana.
Do we have the report needed?
Okay, could you
Adriana,
let Max answer?
Let me respond. There's no update on that process. We are still making payments in a timely manner. On the interest, we are going to be, well, I think Nancy and I are meeting with public media companies, Mark Hand, I think we're scheduled for sometime early next week by phone to move forward on getting a report of options to repay the loan in a more speedy way, if you will, than if we didn't consider options. I have nothing else to report at this time, though.
Okay, time.
All right, thank
one
you.
Minute
time
over.
Thank you, Mansoor. Okay, now we go to committee reports. We have first on the list the Affiliates Task Force, which we have a volunteer to be on that task force from our new affiliates, and they wanted to address restarting the task force, and I believe they want just to say something.
Yes. Madam Chair, timekeeper.
Well, this is 45 minutes total for the committee reports. And
there are seven community reports. Do you want to break it down or just leave it at 45
minutes?
I just keep going. We might, no, each person will get, each committee task force will get about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Unless they need more, and they can tell me when they come up
fine.
To talk.
All
so
right,
was that Robin, Collier, or Gary both? Did you want to speak to restarting the affiliates task force?
Robin, I could start. Yes, Gary's there, and he can talk too. Mainly, we want to get it started again. There were a lot of questions raised, partly by what Maxie reported last meeting, and we had a number of discussions with Grace, Tom, Carol, various people that feel that there should be much more attention paid to the affiliates. So we really thought restarting the task force would be a good way to have a breakdown and discuss all these issues. A number of us really feel that it should be an independent unit. Exactly how that would be implemented, there's not a lot of options. We're also a little concerned about the idea of the content depot. We don't really understand why that would be necessary. The audio part works really, really well. So that's all. Suggestion is to start that affiliates task force again so we can get into detail. Gary, do you want to add anything to that?
I do. We want to restart the affiliate task force as well as implement new things as well, but not immediately. And if audio port goes away, I mean, you're going to see a mass. People are going to leave the program because audio port is needed.
So whoever would be interested, who knows the affiliates, again, everyone is concerned with the five stations. There's 200 affiliates. They are very different than the Pacifica stations, the main five stations. And so it's really important that people that are really familiar with what these smaller community radio stations or internet stations like Gary has, how they operate, what their needs are, and how they can really benefit the whole Pacifica network. We feel that the brand of Pacifica can be really boosted by working with affiliates. They reach all over the country in many different communities, and it could really be positive to getting donations for Pacifica and also for Ursula raising money to help the affiliates provide services to each other and to the main station. So I would urge anyone that's interested in that to join the task force.
Okay, so Robin, would you or Gary be willing to convene the task force?
I would, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I would like, are there any directors that would like to be on this task force?
Mansoor would like to be. Mansoor would like to be.
Madam Chair, there's not any limit. It's not any limit. The task force, everybody that wants to be in the task force.
Right. Yes, I know that.
Phil, I'd like to be on it, too.
Okay, right.
With that,
Maxie,
Bill, the staff.
Okay, Maxie.
So we have Mansoor, Carol, Bill, and the two affiliate directors so far?
So far, yep.
So,
this is Maxie.
Robin, if you could say what time, and when you set a meeting, just send it to the whole PNB,
sure.
And then whoever wants to join your task force can join.
Okay.
Okay. 1 minute in. 1 minute within this 5 minute category.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Maxie.
I'll wrap it up in 60 seconds. First and foremost, thanks for the report, and I want to be real clear that if you listen carefully to what I said in my report last week, there should be no reason to be fearful that audio port is on the chopping block. What I articulated with no uncertain terms is that we were entertaining a proposal from the Content Depot and that Otis and I would look at that proposal and evaluate a few things relative to the service. Number one, does it represent an upgrade to our existing system? Number two, what is the impact on the affiliates? So the affiliates are front and center with respect to our consideration of whatever proposal comes forth. So what really bothers me in terms of the things that come through Pacifica committees, and in this case, is this fear mongering that goes on without really carefully listening to what has been said. There's some inaccurate understandings about what I've said and what others have said regarding this matter. The second thing is, while I certainly applaud this notion of a task force, I would strongly advise not only my inclusion, because I think it's important for me to be involved, and I've certainly volunteered to participate, but I think it's also important that we have NEPA or our interim CFO involved, because it's important that we understand the business scenario that plays out if the affiliates becomes a unique unit. That is probably more important than all the aspirations, because business implications are very important, and one of the main reasons why I have articulated a resistance to it becoming its own unit. So I'll leave it at that, and certainly we can address this at a later date on the task force. Thank you.
Carol for the staff.
Alex on the staff.
I would also like to say, you know, that I think a lot more details need to be provided, and the task force is the perfect place to hammer those details out and have everybody understand what's being proposed. Because like Maxie says, when you don't know the details, you assume things that may not be true. So I very strongly encourage Maxie, you going to the task force, and please maybe Robin, when you convene it, if you could provide some alternative times to people, and the people who are interested could weigh in on the times that are best for them.
Sure.
Okay, great. Who was next?
Alex.
Carol, go ahead.
Okay. I think that also there may be legal implications, and I don't want Ford Green to, I don't want us to be paying Ford Green to be on a task force, and I'm not sure Larry Danker wants to be on a task force either, but if they could, you know, come in or weigh in, I think that there may also be legal implications, and so I think those should be considered also.
That's a great point.
May I suggest,
I
Robin, that when you have those items on the agenda, you invite them, or maybe invite them for the beginning of the meeting so that you can ask questions or something like that. But yeah, when those things are to be discussed, if they come up when they're not there, to just, you know, make a note to that that's something that you want to discuss when they're present, and just put it on your parking lot until a time when they're going to be there.
You know, there'll be lots of questions that'll come up, and we can isolate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Alex.
Alex, go ahead.
I have a question also.
Do I have the floor, Madam Chair?
Yes, you do. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The issue of having the affiliates as a separate business unit was a motion that was passed on the Strategic Planning Committee and was subsequently passed by the Pacifica National Board. I just want to reiterate that if we're going to revisit this, then the proper way to do it would be to ask first the Strategic Planning Committee and then the Pacifica National Board to reconsider it and provide some background information as to why we should reconsider it. I should also like to point out that the idea did not originate with anyone on the committee, but with our former interim executive director, Tom Livingston, who had discussions with Ursula about it. And I believe there was also some discussions with whoever was taking care of our finances at the time. And I don't recall if this was before we engaged Netto or afterwards, frankly. But we if we're going to revisit this issue, it should be done properly, and it should be brought before the Strategic Planning Committee, which does exist. Of course, it should be discussed on the affiliates task force as well. But there's no reason to wait for that. We have a committee in place, and we'll certainly be willing to reconsider the whole thing. But let's get some information as to why we need to review this.
Ileana,
Maxie, go ahead.
Yeah, Alex's point is well taken, at least by me. I would agree that the Strategic Planning Committee is deserving of some kind of presentation, perhaps from myself and NET, as to a counter-argument to the recommendation that was forwarded and approved by the committee and the board. Secondly, just for a point of clarity, Tom Livingston did not get consultation from NETA. You will find when that presentation occurs to the strategic committee that NETA is dead set against the unit becoming independent. It's part of why, in my consultation with them, I have held the position that I hold. So we'll look forward to that opportunity to present to not only the committee, but to the board if necessary, and certainly engaging with the task force. And again, I want to be real clear. I have nothing against Ursula. I have nothing against the affiliates. I have nothing against there being an affiliates program. The issue is it being a unique unit within the organization. That's where I have a discrepancy. And I will also add this. There's been a lot said by Ursula and others about the ability for the affiliates unit to survive if it remains a department. I reject those claims as being exaggerated and false. Again, part of the fear tactic that is often used to make things happen here with Pacifica and other organizations. So I just want to lay that on the record.
May I have the floor, please?
Yes, Gary, go ahead. Thank you, Maxie.
Okay. Alex, to your point, I strongly agree with you. I thought the purpose of the task force was to provide an informal presentation of our ideas as related to the affiliate program. And I feel as though the current setup for a committee setup has been, is that pulling teeth in a way? And so that I thought was the purpose of the task force. So if I'm wrong, I definitely agree with you, though, that the strategic committee really, you know, you guys did bring this to a floor and got it passed. So I appreciate that, and I hope we can work together to further the affiliate program.
May I respond, Madam Chair? Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes. Well, go ahead, Alex.
Gary, I'll be glad to invite both of the affiliate directors to any discussion we will have on the Strategic Planning Committee. And in fact, an affiliate director is supposed to be a member of the Strategic Planning Committee. We just haven't gotten around to replacing the one we had from last year.
I would like to work with you on that.
If you and Robin could come to a mutual agreement as to who that would be, we may be able to void an election and just come on.
Okay.
I would be very interested in being part of that too. I mean, both of us to start out with, and then once issues are resolved.
Well, I can certainly invite you both to participate in the discussion. But one of you, by the mandate of the committee, would actually have a vote on the committee, and I don't know who that would be, but if you can both agree on which one that would be, we can avoid having an election. Otherwise, we have to have an election.
Okay.
We need.
Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Yeah.
Talk about it, brother.
And you could think of it as being a representative from the task force to the strategic planning committee. Yes, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think that we don't need to discuss the membership for the task force, but I have one terrible concern here. We have originally with the strategic planning committee was formed was just to organize how and you know how we will repay the loans, how all of that will be worked. Now the strategic committee sounds to me that can do everything, can talk about everything, and we still not having from that committee a plan for repaying the loans. That was basically the reason why the committee was created. I love people being involved, but
thank
but
you,
please. No, may I finish, Madam Chair, because everybody's jumping.
Because we're talking about the affiliates task force right now. We're not talking about the strategic planning committee.
It's exactly what they said that the strategic planning to do it, Madam Chair. I think that the strategic planning
should
work in their force, you know, in their purposes. And the affiliate task force can do what had to do. And the executive director should do his job and recommend us what to do. And the strategic planning should, you know, concentrate in what the purpose that was created for, that is organized how the foundation will repay the humongous debt that we have. Thank you.
Are we still talking about the affiliate program?
No, we're not. So we have some to-do items out of this conversation, and we're going to move on now to the audit committee. Is there any other reports from the audit committee? Any updates from last week?
Madam Chair, request.
No.
To me.
No.
Okay.
This is great.
No, nothing on the audit committee. Okay, thank you. Now the coordinating committee.
Madam Chair, request for information.
Yes, what's your request for information, Dwayne?
Well, we left that issue that you said we were finished with, but I need some clarification as to that one member suggested that the task force be somehow incorporated in the strategic planning committee, and one member indicated that that was not the strategic planning committee's mandate. So as chair, I'm asking you to clarify that we
okay.
have a strategic
You're breaking up, Dwayne. We're losing you.
Okay.
I can clarify. Okay, so I think Alex was saying that the motion to form an affiliate separate business unit came out of the strategic planning committee, and so further discussions about whether or not, you know, how that's happening, and any recommendations to not go through with that need to go back to the strategic planning committee in case they want to amend that original motion. So that was why the strategic planning committee got brought up in the first place with respect to the affiliates task force.
But I'm still not clear whether or not we're going to have a task force.
The strategic planning committee said that the conversation needs to happen where the motion originated, not in the affiliates task force.
Well, that was one person, Madam Chair. That wasn't the committee saying that. That was one member of the committee saying that. Let's clarify that.
That's correct. That's correct. So now we're going to go on to the Finance Committee. Is there any report? Has there been a Finance Committee meeting? No. Okay. Now, how about Governance? Personnel Committee? Programming Committee? Am I muted?
Yes. Yes, there are a whole lot of motions from the Programming Committee. They're on.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah. Yes, we have. All right, thank you. Catherine, would you like to give a report and
yes,
on this?
Thank you. And I will need more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
So, because there are 10 motions here, I'm not sure how many we can get through, but I'm estimating maybe 20 minutes it would take to do the whole lot.
Okay. What, Mansoor, how much time do we have left on this item?
You have 20 minutes.
Oh, well, how about that? Okay.
Okay. There were 10 motions passed by the Programming Committee thus far. Before reading these motions, I wanted to thank our ED, Maxie Jackson, for his participation. Thank you very much, Maxie. It made a tremendous difference because it helped us to adjust many of these motions so that they would be something that could actually be managed by our staff. So that's really important that we would be able to do that. And we attempted to do that with each of these motions to take into consideration the perspective of the National Office and the Executive Director.
Okay.
You wanted to? Yes? Okay. So the first motion is a broadcast disclaimer cards. And you'll notice I misspelled disclaimer, so that would need to be changed to D-I-S-C-L-A-I-M-E-R. So this motion has to do with protecting Pacifica as much as possible by offering disclaimers before, during, and after material that may be considered by some to be questionable, and having everyone with a different opinion of what's appropriate and what's not. The best solution would to have a general disclaimer part. So I'll read it for you. The executive director shall institute and monitor the use of disclaimers managed by the general managers and program directors of each station. It is expected that this policy will be fully implemented in the second quarter of FY 2019 between January and March 2019. The guidelines for this function are as follows. Disclaimer announcements will be broadcast a minimum of once for every public affairs program. Disclaimer announcements will be broadcast prior to and or during the broadcast of any public affairs program. Board operators will be tasked with implementing the broadcast of disclaimer cards and maintaining a separate online log for all instances of disclaimer cards being broadcast, including the date, time, and program. The format and content of disclaimer announcements may be modified at the discretion of the program director and or the general manager who has final authority on the nature and use of disclaimer. I have here cards, but it's meant to say announcements. The general nature of the disclaimer is as follows. The views expressed during this program may not reflect the positions, strategies, or opinions of this station or the Pacifica Foundation. The narration of the disclaimer announcement may be by any individual, including the programmer. However, the narrator will not be identified. All the above applies to programs streamed or available for download on the Internet. Policy on disclaimers for materials produced and distributed by the Pacifica Radio Archives will be covered separately. And this was passed as amended without objection on January 22nd. So I would present this motion as a policy to the PNB for passage at this moment. If there are any questions, I don't know. Otherwise, I would like to bring it to a vote.
All right. Nope. Is there anyone that's motivating? Do I hear someone? So you're moving this motion to be voted on by the PNB?
Yes.
Is there a second?
No object. Mansour objects to it.
Okay.
Yes,
Mr. Tatum.
There's no need for a chair.
I was going to say what Grace has just now said. That is, most.
Oh, because it came from the committee, right? Oh, okay, that makes sense because the committee already approved it. So there's a slew of people that automatically have seconded it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason.
Well, it just doesn't need one. And the second thing I would like to say, thank you for recognizing me, and that is some of people need not object ahead of time to motions that are made because it's very confusing. There are two types of objection. One is objection to considering the motion by unanimous consent. The other type of objection is object to the consideration of the motion. And the objection to the consideration of the motion is out of order because it came from a committee. You cannot object to consideration of a motion that comes out of a committee. The other type of objection comes when you are the chair, Nancy, asks for unanimous consent. Someone is saying, I object, means that they do not want this passed unanimously. You can go to a vote at that point. However, if you remember the last meeting, I informed the board that sometimes you can resolve a person's objection quickly and then still approve it unanimously. However, if you're not able to resolve that person's objection, then it will have to go to the vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so, Mansour, what's your objection?
Yes, thank you very much. And I object to this because I think it's macromanaging the management of the stations. I think we need to give a lot of leeway to the managers to implement the disclaimer, but to say how many times per day, this and that, that's what I object to.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Maskila, can I say something?
Yes, Maskila. Yes, go ahead, Maskila.
Thank you, I appreciate
that. Are you objecting as well?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
We had an LSB member who was so upset with the possibility of the past.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I got Mansour, Jonathan disconnected me.
Okay, can you hear me? This is Maskila.
Okay, Mansour, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
Sure. No, I wasn't.
You were not finished? Okay.
No.
Maskila,
no,
one second. He somehow got disconnected. I thought he was done. Could you hang on one second? And then after he finishes, then you will go take the floor again, Maskila. So let Mansour finish, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I blame Jonathan for getting disconnected. However, I don't think any of you have done board opping. And to come and say that a board op needs to log this and that, that's just beyond any task and duties of the board ops. This is where the program director comes in and the traffic controller comes in to when to announce anything, you know, whether it's a promotion or caller ID or this and that. It's all done through traffic department. So the board op has no say to what to do and not to do. They're following orders from the program director and the GM who are in charge of the board op schedule, and they are in coordination with the traffic controller. So you can't just arbitrarily come and say something or implement something that would not be implemented. So I reiterate, number one, the disclaimer is good. Number two, let the general manager and program director manage that. Thank you.
This is Grace for the stack.
Yes. Am I next? This is Maskila.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. Sorry. Maskila, go ahead, please.
We had an LSV member at WPFW who was so upset about the possibility of this passing. I don't think they do this kind of whatever you call it, disclaimer. I don't think they even do that at NPR. And for WPFW and all the other stations to do that, and we're supposed to be progressive, and these are the issues that we want the public to hear from us, and tend to state a disclaimer, is like, oh my God, they're on both sides of the coin. They want to stay progressive, but then they don't want to really claim progressive. So I don't know how we do that and say that we are legitimately for the progressive side of this country, actually. So I really think that we need to kind of take another look at that and maybe step back from that particular passage. I don't think that it's really worthy of Pacifica to have a disclaimer. Okay, thank you.
This is Grace for the stack.
Grace, go ahead. Grace, then Benita.
Yes. I understand the objections to this. It's understood. I think, first of all, to respond to Mansoor's objection, Maxie mentioned, and our program director at KPFK mentioned, that we need to have station identification at least once an hour, if not twice. A disclaimer can be 7 to 15 seconds. It can be simply added to the station identification. It only takes a few words. Now, we especially need disclaimers when we're doing fund drives at KPFK, and premiums are sometimes controversial. They have to do with health remedies and other things like that. It protects us legally to have a disclaimer. Without a disclaimer, if somebody is harmed by one of our premiums, we have unlimited liability. With a disclaimer, that would very much lessen any legal liability we would have. Also, we have sometimes extremely controversial programming, and that can be on our regular public affairs programming. I don't see the downside to having a cheerfully spoken 7 to 15 second disclaimer that's tied to the station identification. It's not really a huge deal. But it certainly can be, and if left up to the general managers and the program directors, in my opinion, there's a good likelihood that it'll just never be implemented. So there has to be an attempt, at least, to put it in universally and not have it be decided that once in a while there's going to be a disclaimer. This went through the committee. We did have quite a bit of discussion about this. Obviously, it's not needed, except for probably not needed during music programming, except if there's going to be really controversial music, which I don't think is aired very often. But our committee really considered this very carefully. So I think it's a good motion, and we should implement it and see if there's any feedback about it. But now that's all I have to say.
Rita Fitzstack.
And Bill for the stack.
Benito, and who was that you said to the stack?
Bill?
Sabrina.
Okay. Benito, then it's Sabrina, then Bill.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. So I agree more or less with Masquila. It's my understanding, if you read the Pacifica bylaws, it talks all about freedom of speech. And Lou Hill pushed freedom of speech. So, and I won't even try because I don't think the Pacifica is progressive. But in terms of freedom of speech, then who are we to say what is controversial? You want to leave it to the PD and the GM to determine what is controversial?
30 seconds.
They, depending on their particular individual philosophy of life or ideology or political affiliation, then they will determine X to be controversial and why not to be controversial.
10 seconds.
So this is an absolute mess. I'm not saying that, that some kind of statement is not sometimes warranted, but the point is that this has got to be dealt with a lot more clearly and seriously and a guideline laid out. I don't think the committee has done that. By the way, I'm a member of the committee.
Time.
So that's,
I'm scared, please.
No, the timekeeper doesn't know whether he's timekeeper or chair.
I am the timekeeper, Diaz. Mr. Diaz, I'm the timekeeper, and your time was
privilege.
We can't hear you, Nancy. You're muted.
Benito, you were given 30-second warning and the 10-second warning to remind you to wrap things up. Did you not hear those?
Point of personal privilege.
Yes, what's your point of personal privilege, Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair. Please, I didn't hear during the whole time, even with all the tensions, the timekeeper, I know, and you referred that to me, and that's why you didn't let me be anymore the timekeeper. He made a warning, it's up to you, stop, but it's not up to the timekeeper to keep talking on top of the person that had the floor. Please, Madam Chair, can we put that very clear? Because I don't see that it's being even apply equally.
Thank you for your advice, Adriana. I've asked the timekeeper to give the times of 30 seconds and 10 seconds and the end of time. And he did. And so he did. When you are speaking, you are to be expected to listen for those and modify the time that you take to speak. Okay. Next person on the stack was Sabrina.
Bill.
Sabrina was next, then Bill.
Sabrina was before me.